Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Today's message is called Spiritual Friendships, and our text is from 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. All my life I've been blessed with good friends. One of my dearest friends I met in college, which was some 40 years ago. Even though we live in different cities, we've kept together all those years. She was with me when my son was born, and I was with her when she lost her brother. She has even shared her mother with me. When I was installed at pastor at Rox Pres, she brought her mother all the way from Detroit. We often talk about the value of a solid friendship, but we've never discussed what makes a good friendship. I don't think we even thought about it. But the Bible gives us plenty of good models. I'd like to share a bit about the story of David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. Remember, Saul, Israel's king before David, had a shaky relationship with David. He was jealous of him, but his son loved David, and they became close friends from the time they met. Theirs was one of the deepest and closest relationships recorded in the Bible. What was the secret of this friendship? The Bible doesn't tell us everything, but it does say they both loved the Lord. You may know about David's relationship with God because the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, but you may not know about Jonathan's relationship with God. 1 Samuel 14 gives a great illustration. Jonathan, the eldest of Saul's son, is a great warrior. He's an expert archer. In one seemingly hopeless battle against the Philistines, he goes on to attack the enemy alone. Why? Because he trusts God. 1 Samuel 14:6. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. He trusted God so much that he knew God was going to use him in exactly the way that God wanted to. So these best friends share a mutuality in their love of God. It was their commitment to God that strengthened their relationship. When you put God at the top, you have a deeper understanding of what a true relationship is all about. So what can we learn from David and Jonathan? Well, they were fiercely loyal to each other. They let nothing come between them, not even career or family problems. Once they became friends, once they decided they trusted each other, they were loyal. Jonathan knew that David was to be king, but that did not change his view of their friendship. Jonathan would rather give up the throne than give up his relationship. Now, I've read commentaries that actually say this is impossible. This is just not realistic. But I think it is. In the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, David and Jonathan form a covenant. Now, in this agreement, Jonathan would be second in command in David's future reign, and David would protect Jonathan's family. This covenant making was serious business in ancient times. It was the strongest kind of bond in the Old Testament. Of course, the most significant covenant is God's agreement with the people of God, but covenants always signified a very serious agreement, and in this case symbolized the depth of a friend's bond. 18:3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Jonathan's covenant with David was so serious that when jealous King Saul tried to kill David, Jonathan protected his friend. Their covenant relationship exceeded those family ties. Jonathan died in battle with his father and his brothers, but his covenant with David extended into the next generation. When David became king, he protected Jonathan's son. Theirs is a beautiful story that lifts up the value of friendship. A true friendship, a godly friendship, is a covenant. Whether you share a ritual, whether you write it down, you should still experience a deep connection with each other because you're bound by God. The best friendships are those that share the love of the Lord. Now, does that mean you should avoid friendships with unbelievers? That's a tricky one. While some preachers might argue you are absolutely not to befriend unbelievers, I believe it's okay, as long as you don't allow them to distract you or threaten your relationship with God. I think we can be friends with unbelievers, especially if we're willing to model good, godly behavior for them, as long as we're careful not to compromise our spiritual walk. Remember, Jesus was a friend of sinners. To ignore sinners shows a little arrogance, because we're sinners too. If we only choose to befriend the so-called righteous and holy, well, we might be hard-pressed to find anybody. We're all sinners saved by grace, and we're not obeying Jesus' command to go and make disciples. So that's why I believe you can be friends with unbelievers. We're living in a time when commitment and loyalty seem to be in short supply. The world has become more transient. People move around. There's always a new job, a new apartment, a different school, a different community. We live in a culture so heavily influenced by consumerism that it's easy to let go of somebody in hopes of getting somebody better. There was a scene from Will and Grace where the friend, and I don't remember her name, comes into the restaurant to sit down with Will and Grace, and then she looks over and says, "Oh, better people," and walks off and goes and sits with somebody else. It's a throwaway society. 1, 2, 3 steps, we're out. We produce, we use, we dispose. That often spills over into our relationships. Human relationships are critically important to God. There's a song by Israel Houghton and New Breed called "I Am a Friend of God. He Calls Me Friend." The lyrics quote Psalm 8, "Who am I, God, that you are even mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you're thinking of me, that you hear me?" This is where it all starts. Jesus, of course, is our best friend. He teaches us what it means to be divinely human. He teaches us how to love. In modern times, we tend to base our friends on proximity or mutual interest, and that's fine. But the best friendships, the lasting ones, must grow to love. Jesus' love for us is unconditional and sacrificial. He demonstrated this love for us with his life. Remember when he was headed to his death at the Last Supper, how he washed the disciples' feet? John 13, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he said. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you should also wash each other's feet." Washing feet, of course, was the responsibility of a servant. But here's God in the flesh, willing to bow down and serve his disciples. How often do we think of service in context with our friendships? Are you willing to serve your friend? Have you developed your friendships to the extent that you would be, without a second, you would be willing to serve them in any way necessary? That's later when Jesus told the disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." True friends will serve each other, support each other, build each other up, be honest with each other. Now, honesty can be difficult, but if we love each other and trust each other, we have a responsibility to be honest to our friends in love. Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted. When I really want to make sure that a new situation makes sense or that new man I met is all that I think he is, after I pray about it, I usually share it with my friend. We've been doing this for 40 years. She knows how to deliver whatever I need to hear with grace in love. I know she never intends to hurt my feelings, and she's just trying to give it to me straight. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what Proverbs 27:17 means when it says, as iron sharpens iron. If we are willing, through our relationship with Jesus, we can develop more mature, loving, giving relationships with each other. We can learn to value our friends' needs above our own, to give sacrificially to our friends, to be lovingly honest and loyal. Now, this advice is not limited to young people. We are never too old to improve our relationships, any relationship. And this is something for a marriage. A good marriage has to be grounded in friendship. I marry a lot of young couples, and that's one of the things I try to find out. Are you friends? Are you friends? You have to know in what your relationship is grounded. If it's based on sex or romance, then it's on shaky ground, because those things can come and go. They depend on mood. I read somewhere that the purpose of any relationship is to create a power, a strength that was not there before. You can be stronger together than you are alone. Ecclesiastes 4:12, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Friendship is not limited to any particular kind of relationship. C.S. Lewis wrote, when we are doing things together, that friendship springs up. Painting, sailing ships, praying, philosophizing, fighting shoulder to shoulder. Friends look in the same direction. The power comes through God, who can strengthen anything that the friends do together. This Christian life can be lonely because we're not like the rest of the world. We look at things differently, we act differently, and we have different expectations. And we have to be careful about our friendships. But when you have this friendship based in Christ, oh my, you're into something special. When both your hearts and minds are bound to God, that is the glue, the strength of your relationship. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. I hope you have wonderful friendships. If you don't, make a friend. If you do, try to improve your relationship through Christ. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.